By nature, His ways are above our ways. Our ways are not His ways. And so it behooves us to seek, to search the Scriptures, to find His ways, for they are with understanding. Amen. And so we go here to the book of Proverbs, chapter number 30, and we continue on a little bit in our study tonight. Verse number 24 and verse number, we'll just read through 26. There be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. The conies are but a feeble folk, yet make their house in the rocks. Let's just read on. The locusts have no king, yet they go forth, all of them, by bands. And the spider taketh hold with her hands and is in king's places. And tonight we're focusing upon verse number 26. The conies are but a feeble folk, yet make they their houses in the rocks. Amen. And so we're talking and learning about getting a lesson from the conies. And I know some of you have been getting several lessons from the conies at Sonic. And I don't even know if they have them up here. Do they have James Coney Island up here? No, I guess not. All right, that's a Texas thing. Amen. James Coney Island, JCI. And but I'm sure there's other places as well. But what about Wiener Schnitzel? Oh, that's a southern thing too, huh? Wiener Schnitzel. Yeah, all right. Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. If you're ever down south, you can look those places up. Amen. Praise God. But we're taking a lesson from the conies. Let's just ask the Lord to help us here tonight. God, we're very blessed. We're very privileged to be together and to be in your presence. And praying, sweet Holy Ghost, that you would minister to us, that you would move amongst us and about us and upon us, that the power of your Spirit would bring revelation unto us, God. Help us to be more than hearers of the Word, but that we would be doers of the Word as well, God. Lord Jesus, we want to be more than just those that hear what your Word has to say and then do not apply it to our lives, but we want to hear the whole counsel. We want to hear everything. We want to have the understanding and the reasoning behind it. And God, and help us, Lord, as we build and strengthen our families. And I pray that you would help us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you, and you may be seated tonight. Praise the Lord. Amen. Brother Reed, if he'll come help me tonight whenever he gets a chance, I will do my best to get to him this time. And I'm not going to take very long. You didn't let me finish the sentence at the onset of this message. That doesn't mean anything else. Praise God. Amen. I have no intention of going very long at all. I just want to try to finish up this part, and we'll move on from there. And but there are things that we have got to work upon. And again, we're just kind of doing some review here today. And we have got to work upon our relationship with God. These things do not just happen. And another thing that we have got to work upon is we've got to work upon having successful home and family life, strong families. Amen. These things do not just happen. Amen. When you see strong families, it's because that people are given to making them strong. Amen. And it is sacrificial. It is sacrificial. Amen. If you're not through running around with your friends and playing, amen, and Brother Reed and I were talking the other day, and playing in the fast cars and such like that, then it's probably not time for you to have a family. Amen. And if you're not through running around and going everywhere with your friends and all that other stuff and forsaking kids and spouses, and it's not time to have a family. And I'm not saying that you cannot do these things, but when you make the commitment to have a family, to be a family, then the responsibility of the strength of that family lays upon your shoulders. And marriage is 100-100. It's not 50-50. It's 100-100. Because when you took the vows, you said for better or for worse. Amen. And so 50-50 would be a multiple choice, you know, for better, for worse. Well, I take for better. Richer or poor, I get the richer. And but no, you said through it all. And so somebody, one of the party may decide that they don't want to be as committed. Nevertheless, you've still got a commitment. Amen. And you've got a commitment to God. You've got a vow to God. And the Bible teaches us that it would be better to never make a vow than to break it. Amen. When you make that vow, it is until death do us part. And so we have to do our best to have successful families and home lives. We've got to give ourselves attention and such to do this. We talked about Matthew 7:24. Whosoever heareth the sayings of mine, Jesus said, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man. And we all desire to be wise. Nobody's walking around with a sign that says, I just want to be foolish. And but everybody wants to be wise, and even the one that is foolish, he tries to portray himself as wise at different times. But Jesus said that if you will hear these words and do them, then you shall be a wise man. And he went on to say in verse number 26 of chapter 7, the book of Matthew, he said, but he that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, he said, he shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. Now, unto the wise man and the foolish man came the same storms. The rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon the house. Amen. And so hard times are going to happen. And as I began to think upon this lesson here tonight, there was so much that came to my mind, and I will try not to jump ahead, but I would venture to say that in homes, in families that are successful, then in reality they are following the biblical principle of the way that the house and the home was to be built. And when you find adversity, when you find opposition, when you find the different elements within family structure that are trying to break apart, impede the family structure, then there is something in it that is outside the boundaries of God's law. Amen. And we know that except by pride, there cannot be any contention. And so oftentimes there are people that think that I should be treated better. And you know what? And sometimes you may should be treated better. Amen. Praise God. And but everything has got its place. Everything has got its place. And so Jesus said that him that would hear the word of God and would do the word of God shall be likened unto the wise man that built his house. And he that hears but does not do the word of God shall be likened unto as the foolish man. Both built their houses. One just decided to build it upon the rock, and another built it upon the sand. And that right there, my friend, is a completely different message. Because oftentimes we think, I mean, who in their right mind would ever build their house upon sand? When in reality, sand is the number two foundation to build upon. And when sand gets wet, it does not swell. And when sand goes through a drought, it does not shrink. And all of your soils will do that. When they get too wet, they will expand, and it'll cause foundational problems. And when you go through a drought, everything begins to shrink, and that foundation begins to move and begins to cause foundational problems. So just simply saying that he that built his house upon a sand, man, that guy just did not have any brains. No, he just chose a lesser foundation than the rock. Amen. Praise God. Just a lesser foundation. It's a good foundation. Don't tell me it's not. Amen. We just built a 28,600 square foot building on nothing but sand. Amen. You get down around the coast of the Gulf of Mexico, that's all you're going to find is sand. Praise the Lord. Amen. But there's ways to do it. Praise God. And there are different types of sand, so nevertheless. Amen. And so anyways, we have got to build strong families. And Proverbs teaches us that the conies are but a feeble folk, yet they make their house in the rocks. And that word rocks there in the Hebrew translates, it is a singular word. And so it just simply means that they made their houses in the rock. Amen. They made their house in the rock. Amen. Praise God. And so we talked about that little rodent that looks like a rabbit and really has no abilities to protect himself, not even in their having a great number. They're still not able to protect themselves. The only thing that can protect them is when they run back into their houses, into the rock. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so like the conies, we also have a refuge in our rock, and our rock is Christ Jesus. Amen. 2 Corinthians or 1 Corinthians 10 and 4, Matthew 16 and 18, 19. Amen. Our rock is Christ Jesus. The book of Acts says that he is the stone which the builders rejected. Praise God. And so we model our families after the Bible. We model our families after Jesus Christ and his ways. Amen. We're not into modeling our families according to the Dr. Phil way. We're not into modeling our families, amen, according to the psychologist or to any secular left-wing liberals who are doing what they can to try to teach us. And in reality, their teachings and their methods have failed. And the reason that we can say they have failed is because our jailhouses are overpopulated. Amen. Our economy, our jobless rate, amen, has been the highest it has ever been until the last few years when, amen, a man decided to come in and put down some mandates and put everybody back to work. The reason that it is because government and things have just decided, well, we'll just give you the money to stay home and just populate and just take it easy, and we'll give you food stamps, and we'll pay your bills, and we'll put you in Section 8 housing, and we'll do this, and we'll do that and stuff. And you know what? If you need that stuff, that's what it's there for. But so many of these people don't need it. They just need to get out and get a job. Praise God. And they can do that. They can do that. They can do that. And so we began to look at the family from God's point of view. And we see how he began to build it in the book of Genesis, chapter number 2. And when he put man and woman together. And man and woman would go on to procreate, and they had 3 sons. And then from there it began to go forth. But we see the things that was started in there. And I'm not going to take the time because I'm going to try to get through all of this today. And I do have somewhere I want to go in this. But we see that through all of this and in the Garden of Eden, that the only thing that Adam and Eve were allowed to take out of the garden was their marriage. Praise God. They had to leave everything else behind, but their marriage, they were able to take it out, and that shows how much that God puts an emphasis upon that. Praise the Lord. Brother Reed, what is your first scripture there? I forgot to coincide this with my notes. All right, Matthew 24 and 43, praise God. We're gonna go over there, and we're going to read through these here really quickly, and then we're going to move on, amen. But Matthew chapter number 24 and verse number 43, if you have that, go ahead and read.
But know this, that if the good men of the house...
All right, he said there is something that you've got to know. You've got to take in. You've got to accept it. You've got to learn it. And then he starts off and he says, amen, know this, that if the good men of the house... And we had talked about this last week there, closer to the closing. Amen, that if the good man, amen, not the bad man, not the lazy man, amen, not the individual that... just wants to sit around. The Bible teaches us, amen, against that. But he said that if you were to put together the definition for a good man, amen, he said, know this, that if the good man of the house, read,
had known in what watch...
Amen. Even the good man of the house doesn't always know what watch the thief would come.
He would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up.
He would have watched. Now we're going to come back to this later on towards the end of this. Amen. But you understand that the natural response of the good man is that if he would have known what watch the thief was coming, the Bible said that he would have watched. That's only natural. He would have watched and he would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Amen. That's just the natural thing. Matthew chapter number 12 and verse number 29. You got that? Go ahead.
Or else, how can one enter into a strong
man's house? How can you get into a strong man's house
and spoil his goods?
Spoil his goods?
Except he first bind the strong man.
There's only one way that you're going to do that. You've got to bind the strong man of the house. So we see that there is a good man of the house, and that good man's natural response is to protect his house if he had known. Amen. And the strong man of the house, amen, you're not going to get in and to divide his goods, to spoil his goods, except you first bind the strong man. Praise God. So these are natural reactions of the good man, the strong man of the house. Praise God. He's going to do what he's got to do in order to protect his house, in order to cause his house to be a strong house, a successful house, a comfortable house, a safe house. Amen. He is going to do what he has got to do. Do you got Luke 6? Amen. All right, so we're moving on to Luke chapter number 6 and verse number 47 through 49. Go ahead.
Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them,
yes,
I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that is without a foundation, built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did vehemently beat, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great.
All right, so the emphasis here is put upon the foundation. And being a builder by trade, I will tell you that if you do not get the foundation correct, you are going to experience problems, amen, throughout the remainder of the job. Amen. It's got to be correct. Number one, it's got to be square. It's got to be square. You can't just, amen, put up some type of foundation and take a look at that thing and say, well, you know, I think it's square, amen, because then everything else and everybody else is going to have lots of problems as they begin to proceed forth through the job. Amen. The framers are going to have problems because the foundation isn't square. The drywallers are going to absolutely hate you because the foundation isn't square. square. There is no hardly any type of frustration. Amen. Then, Brother Doug, you know what I'm talking about. Taking a 5/8, 4x12 sheet and starting off on a ceiling and putting it up there, and it doesn't go into the corner because the corner is not square. And then you've got to take that thing down and you've got to try to figure out the cut. Amen. And it's not that you got to figure out the cut. The fact is that it should have fit. The first piece going in, it should have fit. And it doesn't because a foundation is messed up. Amen. From that foundation, amen, we can begin to set points. Amen. We can set elevation points. If you're building a big building, you can set column lines off of that foundation. Amen. And begin to set your elevations through that. And I have worked behind concrete companies. Amen. And I have built soffits that have been probably 140 to 160 foot long. And you pull measurements off the concrete, and it's within a quarter of an inch. And when we got to building Colorado Springs Church, I said, get them because they're good, and we won't have to worry about it. And we had to pay a little bit more to get them, but we did. We got them, and we had a good job. But you get on some of them things, and your concrete is doing this, amen, and everything else is doing that. And then you get up there and you start trying to set those trusses up, and your top seal plate, amen, dives down, and then your roof line dives down, amen, and the hip and the ridge beam that's up top, amen, dies down, all that other, amen, and it's just frustrating, and you got to stop. You don't have any production. You got to stop, and you got to go back, and you got to try to either shim up the bottom plate and get it up, or you got to put shims up there on the trusses and the joist that goes down to bring that line up, because everybody from now until eternity, amen, is going to look at that house and going to look at that roof line and see it do this. And it's all because of a foundation. You've got to start your foundation off right. It's got to be right. Amen. You young people, you listen to me. That's why when you go to looking for, amen, a spouse, when you begin to look for towards that individual that you're going to say I do to and live with for the rest of your life, you better make sure that you're starting the foundation off right. Amen. You young men, you young ladies, amen, you just need to make a declaration and a commitment, amen, that if my parents and my pastor does not approve of the individual that I am liking, amen, then I will walk away, and I'm going to make a commitment unto you, amen, and I'm going to tell each and every one of you, amen, that I'm not going to judge any type of anything that you look at in a spousal way, amen, by any other way than them being spiritual and by what their pastor tells me. Amen. I'm not into this this game of matchmaking and trying to force you and to put you with somebody. That's going to wind up in holy terror. Amen. You find somebody that you like. You find somebody that you're compatible with. Amen. And I'll pray about it, and you pray about it, and mom and daddy will pray about it, and their pastor will pray about it, and if we all feel good about it, then that's a good way to start a foundation off. And I can't tell you the number of marriages that I have seen fall by the wayside simply because of matchmaking. Amen. And not all matchmaking is bad. Amen. But people trying to force somebody with somebody else, and they do it because of peer pressure. That's not the foundation that we want to start off with. Amen. We got to start off with a true foundation, a right foundation. Praise God. Praise God. You want a foundation that's right. You want a spouse that'll be faithful to God, because if they're faithful to God, they'll be faithful to you. Amen. You want a spouse, amen, that's not cheating on God, because if they're cheating on God, they'll be cheating on you. You want a spouse that knows how to pray. You want a spouse that knows how to be faithful. You want a spouse, amen, that knows how to live for God. can two walk together except they be agreed? Amen. What light hath fellowship with darkness? Amen. You're not going to find your spouse, amen, in a college room somewhere. You're not going to find your spouse. Let me say it like this. You shouldn't find your spouse somewhere on the internet. Amen. Dating websites and such. You need to stay away from those things. Stay off of those things. Amen. You'll find your spouse at an altar somewhere, in a prayer room somewhere, at the front worshiping God somewhere, at a youth rally, a youth convention, amen, a youth conference, amen, somewhere in a revival or something. That's where you'll find, that's where you need to find them. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Amen. I just have my doubts about finding a spouse in a bar room. Number one, I ain't going to a bar room, but I just don't understand people like that when bar rooms are known for such things as such. Praise God. Amen, amen. Somebody says, well, you need to find somebody that's just like you. You're probably going to live single. I'll just tell you that me and my wife, we are so contrary and so opposite on so many different things and such like that. And we oftentimes wonder, how did we ever get together? Amen. Praise the Lord. And so I'm not saying they got to be just like you, and I'm not saying if they're the exact opposite, then they're not the ones. Amen. But you'll know. You'll know. Everybody in here, they can tell you. You know, you'll know. You'll know. It's right. Praise God. Amen. And so we got to start the foundation off right. The foundation is started off simply by hearing and doing the Word of God. That's the beginning. That's the beginning. And so then we began to look at the blueprints concerning the family according to God's way. And we're going to read a few scriptures here tonight, and then I'm going to go back and I'm going to bring something out in them, and then we're going to dismiss and go home. All right, but let's look at the book of Ephesians chapter number 5 and verses 21 through 33.
Submit yourselves one to another. And in the fear of God.
All right. Now, first of all, he talks about submitting yourselves one to another. And so anyways, we have this big deal, you know, about wives submitting themselves unto their husbands and such. Amen. But I just want you to know that I'm not any less of a man because that I ask my wife her opinion or I defer to her judgment. Because I know my weaknesses, I know my faults, and I know that I need balance, and she brings balance to my life. Praise God. It can get a little bit tight in here. Amen. But you know what the Bible did? The Bible taught, amen, that your wife was to be your helpmeet, your helper. The Bible said that the wife is the weaker vessel. Not the weak vessel, the weaker vessel. Man, you're not necessarily strong. You can be overcome. But a twofold cord is not easily broken. And so you've got to learn how to work together. But yet I have seen men that were so macho in their, whatever you want to call it, in their manhood or whatever. They're so macho that they won't listen to their wife whatsoever at all. Zero. And we're going to talk about that here in a little bit. Amen. But that's not the way that God designed it to be. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, let's read.
Wives, submit yourself unto your own husband.
All right, now here is the commandment of God. This is what God tells the wives to do. He said, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Praise God, unto your own husbands. I was talking with a lady one time, and she told me, you know, her husband was a very domineering individual, and they were staying the night at some friend's house. They had went on vacation and were staying the night at the friend's house and stuff, and And so she, the wife, had made a statement saying, you know what, she was going to go ahead and go on to bed. And the other lady, she was up and she was doing some sewing and such. And so she was trying to get some things done. And so lady one, her husband looks over there at lady two and says, you know what, you need to go ahead and go on to bed now too. And she said, well, thank you. She said, but I've got some things that I've got to get to done. He said, no, you're supposed to submit to me. She said, no, I'm not. I'm supposed to submit to my own husband. Amen. You can go to bed. So the vacation was cut short. Amen. It would have been cut short too because I would have kicked them out. Praise the Lord. But he said, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Read.
As unto the Lord.
All right, go.
For the husband is the head of the wife.
Now, the husband is the head of the wife. I'm not making this stuff up. This is in the Bible. And I'm telling you that this is the problem with the world in today's society. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Bunch of feminisms and amen and women's libs and women's rights and all this. Amen. And I'm not for, you're going to find out through the course of this message exactly where I stand. And so there'll be no questions when it's all said and done. Amen. But there is a place for the wife. Amen. And that is to be kept. No, they're pushing. They want to be the president of the United States of America. Amen. They want to do all kinds of things and such. And I'm not against them having their place and their spot. Amen. But we must understand that there is, amen, an order that God put. And in this, he said that the husband was head of the house or head of the wife. All right, let's read.
Even as Christ is the head of the church.
Just like Christ is the head of the church. Now, how foolish would it be, amen, for some saint to stand up and say, you know what, I'm taking over this church and I'm going to make the rules and the laws around here. That would just sound preposterous, wouldn't it? Amen. It's the exact same way, amen, when a woman decides that she's going to run the house. Now, let me just go ahead and jump ahead of myself because I'm just going to be scattergun here tonight. But a lot of times, though I've said a lot of times, I didn't say all the time, but a lot of times, amen, the woman takes control of the house and rules the house, amen, because the man doesn't have the backbone to do it. Amen. And here's the problem. We have problems that are in the house. Amen. We've got fractures that are in the house. And when we begin to evaluate the problem of that home, it's because the man is not doing what he needs to do. Amen. All that he knows how to say is yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. Now, you already know that I'm saying, amen, that I ask my wife for her opinion. Amen. I talk to my wife. I get balanced and stuff like that. Amen. But there are times, amen, she doesn't rule the house. But yet she can point out my fallacies. She can point out my shortcomings. Amen. And some person can blow up and get mad and say, bless God, you need to submit. And you, no, man, if you just do what you're supposed to do, the house will run a lot smoother. Praise God. I'm not ever going to finish if we don't keep on. All right, let's read.
And he is the Savior of the body.
Jesus is, not the husband.
Right. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything.
Whoa, in everything. In everything. Praise God. Amen. I'm just telling you, honey, as long as he's following after God, amen, just follow after him.
Right.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. There have been times that I've told my wife, I said, you know what, I think, you know, we're going to do this and this. And she's told me with a very stern voice, she's told me, she said, you know what, I'll do it. She said, but don't you dare take me out of the will of God. Amen. Amen. Man, you are the man of the house, but you can make the wrong decision. And you can take your family right out of the will of God. and you take your family out of the will of God, you are removing them from under the umbrella of grace upon your family. Expect marital problems. Expect children problems. Expect financial problems. Expect all kinds of problems because you made the choice. Because number one, amen, you're the man and you can make that choice. Number two, you may not have listened to your wife. You say, well, why do I need to listen to my wife? I'm going to tell you why. Because she's the more sensitive vessel. She's the more sensitive vessel. You, as a man, are the warrior. That's what you were raised and bred for. That's what the Bible teaches, that everyone that is 21 years of age and older should go to war. Unless four things. Number one, they just married a wife. Number two, planted a vineyard and haven't partaken of it. Number three, built a house and haven't had a chance to live in it. And number four, you're afraid. Amen. And if you're afraid, you don't need to be a man. Praise God. You need to gargle with some gravel or something. Amen. Man up. Man up. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 But that's what God had originally designed and intended for the man. And so all the man knows is the sword. All he knows is holding on to it and slinging it and fighting and protecting his house. Amen. And providing and doing what's got to be done to win the battle. And the woman is the more sensitive vessel. Amen. And there's just sometimes that she's going to say, you know what? I think we need to wait on that. We need to just, and the man is like, you know, we got to make a decision now. And she says, you know what? I think that we need to wait on that. You know what you ought to do, man? God gave her to you for a helpmeet. You ought to wait just a little bit. It may only be 3 seconds, but you need to wait. Now, what I am trying to stress here is that you need to take into consideration the voice that God has given you as for a helpmeet. You think I need to wait? Yeah, I think you need to wait. Why? Well, you know, I just feel this and this and this and this. And then all of a sudden you start getting some reasoning. Yeah, you know what? I can see that. All right, let me give it a time. Let me give it some time. All right? I just tell you, very, very seldom have I ever told, I probably count the time on one hand, you know, my wife and I, we just get along. We do. We just get along. And that's the way it's always been. Somebody said, no, your first year is going to be your hardest year. I'm just telling you right now, we said, if our first year is our hardest year, we got this thing whipped. We ain't got any problems. And I'm not saying that we haven't had our hardships and hard times and stuff, but nevertheless, praise God. But man, what I'm saying is if you're so insecure, then you're going to have some issues. You're probably going to have a lot of issues. If you're so insecure with your position, amen. And you might be insecure if you got a bossy wife. But I'm just saying, if the man does what he's supposed to do and the woman is doing what she is supposed to do, it will work. God wants it to work. God will do everything that he can to make it to work. All right? So he said that the wives were to be in subjection to their own husbands in everything. All right? Let's throw some balance in there because all we've been doing is loading down the wives' plate. Let's throw some balance in there. Read.
Husband.
Here's yours, husband.
Love your wife.
Uh-oh. Love your wife. So I love my wife. Well, maybe you need to treat her like you love her then.
All
right. Maybe you need to do a little bit more so that she knows that you love her. Amen. Love is more than just a spoken phrase. Love is more than just just saying, oh, you know what, I love her. No. He said, love your wives. Read.
Even as Christ also loved the church.
Even as Christ also loved the church And he gave himself for it. You need to be ready and willing. Now, here's part of the good man and the strong man. You need to be ready and willing to give yourself for your wife. Praise God. But he says, love your wives. All right. Even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Verse 26, read.
That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives.
This is the way that a man ought to love his wife. Just as we have read in the past two verses, this is how that a man ought to love, the condition that he ought to love his wife, even
as their own body.
Yeah. My. Even as you love your own body. Read.
He that loveth his wife loveth himself.
He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Read.
For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourished and cherished it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of the body of his flesh and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is the great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband.
All right. So right there it tells us, wives, you're supposed to submit yourselves to your own husbands. Husbands, you're supposed to love your wife even as Christ loved the church. Let every man, amen, loving her as he loved himself. But he said, let every man in particular so love his wife even as himself, and let the wife see that she reverence her husband. All right, so we've talked about this, reverencing, we've talked about submitting yourselves, but also reverencing, giving honor, revering your husband. Now we're going to go over to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 6, amen, because we're not just talking about marriage, we're talking about families, amen. Families, all right, we're in Ephesians, chapter number 6, amen, verse number 1, read.
Children.
Oh, we've had husbands. We've had wives. Now we're going to talk about children. Read.
Obey your parents in the Lord.
Oh, children, obey your parents in the Lord. All right?
For this is right.
Uh-huh.
Honor thy father and thy mother.
Yeah, that's a commandment.
Which is the first commandment with promise.
With promise. With promise. That's the first commandment with promise. Amen. He said, if you'll honor your father and your mother, amen, your days will be long.
Right.
First commandment with promise. All right, let's read.
That it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long upon the earth.
Uh-huh.
And ye fathers.
Oh, now we're going to talk to the fathers, the dads.
Provoke not your children to wrath.
Provoke not your children to wrath.
But bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord.
Oh, yes. Praise God. Now we're going to go to one more place before I get off. Colossians chapter number 3. Colossians chapter number 3 and verse number 18. And let's see what he has to say to the family. Now he's going to talk in whole to the family. All right, let's read.
Wives.
All right, here we go. Wives.
Submit yourself unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord.
All right, so there's what the wife is supposed to do. Submit herself unto her own husband as it is fit unto the Lord. Next.
Husbands.
Husbands.
Love your wives.
Love your wife.
And be not bitter against them.
Be not bitter against them.
Children.
Children.
Obey your parents.
Obey your parents.
In all things.
Yes.
For this is well-pleasing unto the Lord.
Amen.
Fathers.
Fathers.
Provoke not your children to anger.
Don't provoke your children unto anger.
Lest they be discouraged.
Lest they be discouraged. Praise God. Now let's talk about these things. So you've been talking about them for the last 40 minutes. Well then let's talk a little bit more about these things. Does anybody recognize who was not addressed? I was reading through this today. I'd been praying, and I went back to the office and sat down, was reading through all of this and such, and just reading through this, and I got here and I got to reading Colossians 3 and 18 through 21 and stuff, and I'm reading and stuff, and all of a sudden it just popped out at me. Who was not addressed? Mothers. Mothers. Mothers were not addressed. And I stopped to think about this, and I said, well, they got off easy then, didn't they? Now, I think it's a little bit deeper than that. Mothers were the only thing that was not addressed. What are we going to tell a mom? Mom, love your children. No, that's just natural. That's just natural. Okay. Mom, feed your kids. No, that's pretty natural too. That's just natural. You know, because that a mom loves her kids, she's feeding them. My adopted mom, Sister Boney, when I go to their house, and when I go to the house, I got my own room, I got everything. They say, you know where your room is, go stay in that. So I set up in my room and whatnot and stuff, and they've always contacted the boys and called them the grandkids and stuff, and they put pumpkins and harvest patch out there and stuff like that and put all of our names out there, and they even put Sarah's name on a pumpkin. Just brought her right in too as well. And so I affectionately, I call her, you know, Mom, and call him Pops. And so anyway, he was sitting there in the house and stuff, and you know, I get up in the morning, and I get up, and they're early risers just as well, and so go in there, and she's like, son, you ready for your coffee? I said, sure. She runs over there. She gets the coffee and brings it out to me, and I just sit down in the chair, and she brings my coffee to me. Brother Boney's drinking his coffee, and I'm drinking mine and stuff, and she'll go, you need another refill on that cup? And so, no, I'm fine. And then before long, we got breakfast cooking. We got bacon and all kinds of other stuff and some gravy and biscuits and homemade this and homemade that and all that and homemade jellies being brought out and stuff. And you know what happens? When we finish breakfast, she's already washing the dishes and she turns around the stove and starts preparing lunch. And then by the time noontime comes around and stuff, she's got lunch fixed and we get it all done. She starts washing dishes. She turns around and just a few minutes later, she's starting to prepare dinner. You know, starting to put it together. That's just the way that a mom is. And all of you moms, you know what I'm talking about. You know, it just seems like, you know, your house is always dirty and stuff because you're cooking breakfast and sometimes it's just Cheerios or Fruit Loops or something. But, hey, man, you're making sure that they got something and putting it out before them and stuff. Then you got to make sure they got lunch and you got to make sure they got something for dinner and whatnot. And you got cookies and all that other stuff in between and everything. And you're just providing for the kids and stuff. And so there is no admonition unto the mother. And I think that this is beautiful, this is strong, this is revelatory, that there is more when it comes to this, because what is the ingredient that must be about a family? And that is that everything has got to be put together with love. The husband and the wife have got to have love. The children have got to have love. The parents have got to have love. There's got to be that love. And the love just seems to come natural for a mother. Amen. She loves her children. Proverbs 31 teaches us about the virtuous woman, that woman that'll do everything, rising up early to make sure that her kids have bread and that her husband has bread and all the things that she will do, and going to bed late to make sure that her house is taken care of. And this is just the natural common thing of a mother. And so I just simply want to pause a little bit and point this out, that when you find a mother that will not love her children, when you find a mother that will walk away from her kids, that will leave her kids home while she goes out and has a good time, and the kids have got to provide for themselves, and they're dirty and they're filthy and they stink and the house is a mess and stuff, you have found somebody that is unnatural, abnormal. It's not normal for that to happen. My wife, I think I've told the story before, was babysitting some kids. And their mom brought all of these kids to her. Amen. And sat down and kissed every one of them goodbye. Told them how much that she loved them. Amen. Walked out of the house, and instead of going to the job, she went and either caught a plane or a bus. Amen. And flew out to some guy that she had met on the internet. That is abnormal. That is not natural. There is something messed up in an individual like that. And so the reason that mothers were not involved in this, amen, is because naturally they fit the bill. Naturally, amen, according to nature, amen, they are going to do what is right in all things, amen, because that's the way that God designed them. That's the way that God put them together, amen. But moms, you've got a different role as well, and that's called the wife. And so what Paul is doing in his admonition to the family is he is addressing the problem. The issues that are natural issues. These are things where Jesus, when he said that if the good man of the house had known at what watch the thief would have come in, he would have watched and guarded his house. Amen. Because it's natural for him to be a protector. That's why Paul did not say, husbands, amen, fathers, protect your families. Because that's natural. That's natural. When some bully comes up and starts, amen, slapping your kid up back the head, amen, you're going to naturally do something about that. Amen. If you know somebody's breaking in your house, you're naturally going to do something about that. But dads, there are things that you're going to have issues with that are natural. Children, there are problems that you're going to have that are natural. Wives, there are problems that you're going to have that are natural. It does not justify the problem. Don't look at me, amen, and say, well, you said that it was just natural that I have these problems. Amen. That is the carnal mind. That is the flesh. Amen. And that is what Paul is saying. You've got to guard against these things so that these things simply by nature don't overtake you and cause you to fall. So he says unto the wives, he said, wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands. You know why? Because it's natural, amen, for you to get cocky, amen, and kind of bow up, amen, and tell him, say, you know what? Who do you think you are telling me what I can do? I'm a big girl. I can do what I want to do. And they begin to spout off, and they're not submissive to that, and that causes friction in the home. Amen. And sometimes the husband will back off of being the man that he needs to be because he's trying to, by nature, protect the family. Amen. Because he doesn't want division and friction in it. And so he may back down, amen, to protect the love. Amen. And not cause the fracture, amen, of an unsubmitted wife. Amen. To totally wreck and devour, devastate that home, when in reality, amen, he just simply needs to stand his ground to be the man of the house, and she needs to submit to see this and to submit and to subject herself unto her husband. That's the natural thing. Ladies, hear me today. It is natural. It is natural, amen, that you would begin to feel like Miss Independent, that you would begin to decide, you know what, I'm going to do it my own way. Amen. I know what my husband, amen. If you got to hide it from him, it's wrong. It's going to cause problems in the family. When all of a sudden he finds the credit card bill or finds out where, amen, amen, where the money is going, he's trying to figure out, he's trying to pay all the bills, and for some reason just seems like the bills aren't getting paid, amen, it's because that she's went out and racked up the credit card debt and all of that, and now there's problems and there's issues and such, and it's all because somebody, amen, got outside the guidelines of what God deemed for the family. family. When we operate and we work our family like God wants it to operate, it will be successful. Praise God. And so he told the wives, he said, hey, I'm just telling you right now, it's only natural for you to sometimes get a little bit mouthy, for you to sometimes to step, you know, to spout off, for you to sometimes just to stand up, amen, and say, you know what, I'm going to do what I want to do, and I'm tired of you telling me what to do, and all the other little things that goes with that, amen. You need to find your place, amen. Brother Johnson came to my church one time, and he preached this message. He said, find your place and keep the pace, amen. Don't sit down and bog it down. Find your place where you need to be and keep the pace. And so wives need to find that place, amen, of being subjective, amen, and submissive to their husbands. Now, let's move on to the next thing, in that he said, husbands, love your wives. Somebody says, oh, now that's not natural. It's only natural that I love my wife. Amen. It is. It is natural that you love your wife, but there is a condition that is placed with that. And he said, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church. And even as you love your own body. And you know what? When we begin to take and get the wives in their place and the husbands in their place, the wives can be submissive because the husband is loving like he needs to love. But when the husband isn't loving like he needs to love, amen, then the wife is going to get a little bit bossy because she feels like she's got to stand up for herself. I had a man one time that he told his wife, you know, she had to call him and ask him for every penny that she spent. You know, if the daughter needed a pair of shoes and she had to call him and say, hey, I found these shoes at Payless Shoe Store and they're $12 and she needs some shoes. Can I get that? Well, you know what? Let me check. And he didn't even have to check. He knew. But it was a dominant thing. It was a domineering thing. And so he'd call her back a little bit later. Yeah, that'll be fine. Go ahead and do that. You know, she'd find something that she wanted or desired or needed or whatever, whether it be need or maybe just a purse or whatever. But for every little thing, she had to call him and say, well, what's wrong with that? Because he never even considered her when he wanted to buy an $8,000 car and fly all the way to Georgia to pick it up, and he didn't even need it. He just came in as man of the house and told her what was going to happen. I'm flying to Georgia and I'm buying a Mustang and I've got, how much is it? It's $8,000. Amen. He didn't even ask her, amen, when he went and bought a $3,000 grandfather clock, amen, just bought because that's what he wanted. You see, he was madly in love with himself. Madly in love with himself. But you know what? Today they're divorced. Because she got tired of it. She got tired of not being loved. And so when she would step up and she'd have to say, you know what, we need some things around the house. Well, we're going to wait. And so the man needs to love his wife as Christ loved the church. And I don't ever find a place in the Bible, amen, where Christ was like this with the church. Having the church under his thumb. But yet some men, that's the only way that they feel like they're man. That's the only way that they feel like they're big is when they got their wife, that precious little sweet little wife, under their thumb and they're controlling every little thing. And for some reason or other, they feel big and they feel macho by being domineering over their wife that God gave them for a helpmeet. God didn't design it that way. The way that God designed it, it will work. Because man, if you love your wife like Christ loved the church, if you loved your wife like you love yourself, she's probably not going to have any problems being submissive. So when I see an unsubmissive wife, I start looking at the husband. And if I see him loving her and doing everything, then she is the problem. But too many times we're fighting the effect of a cause. And we're telling her to submit, 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 submit. When if we would go take care of the cause and say, you know what? You need to get down off your high horse and start loving her. You need to treat her like she's a helpmeet, a gift from God. You need to treat her like you treat yourself. Don't get mad at her for stopping by McDonald's if you stop by McDonald's every morning. Don't get mad at her, amen, for going to, amen, to the store and buying something. If you got a habit of going to the store and buying whatever you want without considering her. Love her like you love yourself. Treat her like you would treat yourself. You want the best clothes. You want the finest clothes. You want this. You want that. Amen. Make sure she gets this and she gets that. Love her like you love yourself, like Christ loved the church. And I promise you, you'll change your marriage. Praise God. Amen. But there is the possibility that it still could be upside down. Because you still have men, amen, that are trying to keep the sanctity of the marriage, trying to keep it together, and there's a bossy woman that's trying to rule the house, that's trying to rule the finances, trying to rule whatever and stuff. You say, well, how do you do it? My wife and I both have the finances. There's been times that I've ran it all. There's been times that she's ran it all. Now, I will say that if that's the case, because there are some men that can't handle finances whatsoever at all, period. At all. And she needs to be handling the finances. All right? But man, don't get upset when you find out that there's some things going on that should not have been going on if you don't have your hand in it or eye over it at some point in time. I had to deal with a husband and a wife one time that had issues and stuff like that, and they didn't know what was going on. Well, she did, and it's because she hadn't paid tithe in months. And so finally she came to me and she said, you know what, I know I haven't been paying tithe, and da 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 da. She said, but my husband doesn't know anything about it. I said, go get him. No, go get him. And I told him, said, you know, some of this is your responsibility. Don't just kind of let it just go. It's your responsibility. You can take a look over that and say, you know, hey, where's our tithe at? Where have we been paying? Right here. Here it is. Say, okay, that's good. You're the man in the house. You're supposed to be the responsibility. You make sure it happens. She can do it, but you make sure that it happens. All right? Okay. So then he goes on to the next thing, and he said, children, obey your parents because it's natural that you don't. But that doesn't justify anything. Paul, in a way, he is saying that is wrong. And this is what you need to do. Obey them. Obey them. Praise God. Amen. My philosophy is, as long as they're in your house, they ought to be obeying your rules. If they ain't obeying your rules, they can go find their own house. As long as you're in my house, you're going to obey my rules. Now, with that said, as my kids got older, I didn't treat them as 10-year-olds either. You know, my kids got 17 and 18 and 19-year-old. I didn't treat them like they were 7, 8, 9, 10 years old. I didn't treat them like they were 12 years old. But at the same time, when they were 12-year-old, I didn't treat them like they were 19-year-old either. I treated them like they were 12 years old. And a 12-year-old can have some rules that an 18-year-old doesn't have. And it isn't because you're compromising, it's because that's wisdom. So you have this. Children, obey your parents. So if mom says something, then you're to do that. If dad says something, then you're to do that. Because it is natural that you would just kind of bow up and get upset about it. And so Paul, seeing this, Paul knows that, you know what, that's natural. And so I'm going to address it. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This is the first commandment with promise. All right? And then he goes on to the last one. And then he says, fathers, provoke not your children to anger. Because it is natural for a man to be overbearing on the kid and to provoke that child to anger. And that's all that he's doing. He's provoking him because I can. No, you really can't. Because Paul said, don't do it. Well, I'm the dad here. But you see, it's got to work hand in hand together. When you've got a loving father that's laying down the law, but yet he is showing his love for his child, the child has an easier time of being obedient. But when you've got a domineering dad that doesn't want to do nothing but berate, beat down, push, overbearing, and all that other stuff into the kid, don't be surprised when they act out in rebellion. 1 + 1 = 2. You cannot have one thing and expect the other thing. Bless God, you're just supposed to be obedient. Yes, they are supposed to be obedient, but you're not supposed to provoke them to anger. You're not supposed to push them and push them and push them and push them until they become so angry that they are disobedient. You've got to use wisdom in it. You've got to know when to stop. Ooh, it got quiet. But it takes the whole family to make it strong. It takes the entire family working together under biblical basis to make it right, to make it strong. And these are things that you've got to work at. So I could add a little bit to it. Paul did at different times. Paul said, I'm saying this not by commandment. Moms, don't baby your kids. There's that mom when dad wants to get, you know, when dad starts to get on the kid, mom's like, oh, be easy. And pampering him. You're being too hard. Sometimes they need a little bit of hardness. But you know, the correct thing is they're saying, you're always hard on them. Okay, then that causes me to step back and say, okay, now is that the truth? Am I always hard? Okay, you know what I am. So I need to change. I need to show forth love. I need to start doing things with them. We can go fishing. We can play games. We can do this. We can do that. We can. That way, when I need to step in as a father figure and correct them, then there's the balance that is in that. There's the balance that is in that. Parents, it'd be wise for you to make sure that your disagreements one with another are behind closed doors. Because when you've got disagreements with each other and they're verbally out in the open, these kids are a lot smarter than you think because they're going to use it against you. And they know who to go to. My wife and I, we made a decision a long, 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 long time ago. We just said we're not going to be played by our kids. And so it's kind of always a habit. And sometimes we missed. But it was a habit. One of them would come up and say, can I go over here and stuff? What did your mom say about it? Because they knew they were in trouble with mom. And they knew mom would say no. So I'm not going to go ask mom. I'm going to go ask dad. So then I say, yeah, that'll be fine. You can go. And then I go and mom says, well, you told them they could go? Like, yeah. Well, they knew that they were in trouble. They're not supposed to be going. So it just always was. Dad, can I go over here? Dad, can I do this? Dad, can I do this? Have you asked your mom yet? No? Okay, let me talk to mom real quick. And it wasn't because mom had to give the answer. It's because I didn't know what had went on between mom and them. And it was the same way the other way. Mom, can I do this? Mom, can I go here? Mom, can I? What did dad say? What would dad, how does, so I haven't talked to him. All right, well, let's go talk to dad real quick. Let's ask dad. Let me call dad real quick. Let me find out. Because these kids, they know who to ask. They know when mom's not in a good mood. They go talk to dad. Mom's not in a good mood because you didn't clean your room. Say, well, dad's not in a good mood. Dad's not in a good mood because you didn't do what you were supposed to do. But you see what I'm saying? It's when we all do what we are supposed to do, it makes strong families. When the husband is loving his wife like he loves himself and he loves God, she has an easier time. I didn't say she will be, but she has an easier time being submissive and subjective to her husband. And the kids will have an easier time being obedient to parents when they know that the parents love them. I didn't say that they would always be obedient, because all of these things that we've talked about, it's just natural that the opposite happens. So being the good man of the house, that's not just a male figure. Being the good person of the house, you've got to stand guard against these things. And when you see that rise of not being submissive and subjected to your husband, then you've got to guard against that, because that's the way the enemy wants to come in and to break up the home. There have been times that my wife has told me, we need to sit down and talk. And so we have. And you know what? I wasn't doing everything I needed to do. And so we got it worked out, because we're both committed to making it work. And so by nature, I want to please this guy. And so I've got to work at making sure that I'm loving her like I love myself. Kids, by nature, it's just the way to be disobedient to parents. So when you feel that rise and that desire to mouth off, you need to stand guard against it. Because you possess the ability to bring fractures into your home. You've got to stand against that. You've got to resist that urge. You've got to be disciplined and submissive to your parents. Dads, it's just natural to be overbearing on your children. It's just natural to overwhelm them. It's just natural to drive them to anger. That's wrong. That's wrong. Paul said, provoke them not to anger. There are ways to get your word, your will, your desires across without being domineering and overbearing and just driving them to anger. We'll find that when we all work together at this, he's loving her like she's supposed to be. She's being submissive. It goes like a hand in a glove. Dad's loving their parents, not provoking them to anger. Kids are less likely to be disobedient. And it doesn't mean that she will always be submissive. Doesn't mean that he'll always love like he loves himself. Doesn't mean that they'll always be obedient. Doesn't mean that he won't always provoke. But those things aren't right. And being the good man of the house, the good individual of the house, we've got to guard against these things. Let's stand. We've got to guard against these things, because there is an adversary. And I submit to you tonight that the very areas that we have discussed here tonight, there is an adversary. There is an adversary that will do everything that he can to get into your house. And these are the entrance ways. These are the windows, the doors that he will come in through. He'll come in to destroy a home through children being disobedient and cause so much friction in a house simply because kids being disobedient. Well, I guess if we go back to the Bible days, we could really fix that, huh? You know what they did with rebellious kids? Stoned them. Next sibling in line just kind of took a deep breath and yes, ma'am. You want some more of what your brother got? No, ma'am. But that's the way the enemy wants to come and bring friction into a home. Wants to come in through a domineering husband that doesn't love his wife like he needs to. Wants to come in through an unsubmitted wife. Wants to come in through a father provoking his kids to anger. Bringing friction and fractures into the house. We've got to stand guard against it. Amen? Amen. Why don't we lift our hands? Let's ask God to help us through all of this. It says, tell God, God, we want strong families. God, help us. God, help us. God, help us to stand guard.